This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Stemming systemic risk.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday morning. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke speaks on Capitol Hill today. And in his testimony before Congress, he'll outline a goal to form an oversight council that'll make sure companies don't become too big to fail. That is, an entity so large its failure could jeopardize the entire economy. Lawmakers have said it's likely they would put a council of regulators in charge. President Obama's proposed consolidating the power within the Fed. It's the latest Wall Street firm to lose its CEO to the credit crisis. Bank of America's Kenneth Lewis announced his retirement to the board late yesterday. From New York, Marketplace's Elisa Roth has more.
Kenneth Lewis's decision surprised Bank of America's board, though he had reportedly talked to the chairman and a small group of directors about it already. Lewis is under state and federal investigation over B of A's acquisition of Merrill Lynch last year. Some investors say he paid too much and that he didn't tell them about gigantic bonuses to the bank's executives. He had been seen as a hero for saving Merrill Lynch from exploding the way Lehman Brothers did. Because he's retiring, Lewis won't get a severance package. He will get a pension, though, which is reportedly worth more than $50 million. He also gets more than $80 million in stock and other benefits. The bank hasn't named his successor yet. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Let's check numbers. Markets in Europe are lower, for the most part, by under a quarter of a percent. The DAX is pretty much flat in Germany. In Asia, shares were mostly lower today. The Nikkei fell 1.5% on news from a Japanese survey that showed manufacturing to be weak there. On Wall Street yesterday, some weak economic data that came out kept investors subdued. The NASDAQ was flat. The S&P 500 and Dow lost about a third of a percent. And by the way, for July through September, the Dow did tack on 15%. That's the best quarterly showing in more than a decade. The annual survey from Bankrate.com finds the average ATM fee for non-customers rose more than 12% this year to $2.22. General Motors will shut down Saturn. There had been an agreement to sell the brand to Penske Automotive, headed by former racer Roger Penske. But he walked away from the deal after he was unable to find a supplier after Saturn's GM contract runs out in 2011. It's a holiday today in China, the 60th anniversary since Chairman Mao and the communists took control. And yet today, China is beating the capitalists at their own game. Our Shanghai correspondent Scott Tong joins us live right now. Hi, Scott.
Good morning, Steve.
So I was reading this morning that China seems to be dominating the IPO market. Seems a little ironic, huh?
Well, China has done a pivot with regard to the global economy these last 60 years. What the communists did in 1949 is basically sealed off China from the global economy. They kicked out the foreign bankers, etc. But then in the late 70s, China reopened the door. And today we're in a world where China obviously matters to everyone. Today the IMF said China will grow 8.5% this year. That's faster than they forecast earlier. And more new cars are sold in China than anywhere else on the planet. And then we have this IPO boom, Steve. A lot happening.
And does China have the most deals or the most profitable investment banks?
Well, the answer is yes, however you want to slice it. In the last quarter, China had 38% of the number of IPOs in the world. And Chinese banks are number one and two in IPO volume, ahead of those Wall Street titans Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs. So you start to get an idea, yeah?
Yeah. And why now?
Well, Chinese companies have been at the IPO starting gate for a while now. They've been waiting for the investors to come back. They've been waiting for permission from Beijing to do that. this part of the world is also growing. It didn't get whacked as hard by the global recession, so there's a lot of growth activity here. And China's still privatizing. Lots of companies that historically have been state-owned are selling their ownership shares to private investors. So no lack of activity out this way, Steve.
All right. Marketplace is Scott Tong in Shanghai. Scott, thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by SunGard. $25 trillion of investment assets are accounted for with software from SunGard Financial Systems. More information at sunguard.com. And by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 750,000 tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
City of Lights is all aglow for the next 7 days with Fashion Week going on. Designers and models are showing off everything from the subdued to the over-the-top. Given the economy, the trends have been to tone things down. Project Runway's Tim Gunn is with us now. Episode 7 airs tonight on Lifetime, and he says, reflections of the recession are in the runway shows, and there are fewer designs on the runway.
And the most obvious thing being that there were many fewer looks on the runway, which is certainly an indication that there are fewer items in the showroom. There are fewer things for the retailers to buy.
You think designers on the show are thinking about the recession?
Well, I believe, and I'm projecting a lot of my own thinking into our designers, I believe that they're looking beyond this economic downturn, and they're really designing for that moment, as opposed to thinking, well, we have this dreadful economic condition and horrifying unemployment and a retail calamity around us, and what do we design for this particular time and place? That can only be dreary and gloomy as far as I'm concerned, and we really want to look at getting out of this and at what lies beyond it.
And so what does a recovery fashion industry look like? I mean, what are they shopping for?
Well, they're shopping for items that will have a long life in their closet, for one thing. And they're not going to buy something new that has a very limited place in their wardrobe and in their lifestyle.
But you think that's going to be in the recovery as well? Or do you think people will start, you know, going all out again?
I think it's going to be a while before people start going all out again. When we come out of this, I think it will be with a huge sigh of relief. And people will be moving forward cautiously. At least I hope that they will, because I do think that there's a silver lining to this and a recalibration of thinking about what we buy and what these items mean to us.
And do you think there will ever be a time we get back to the $26,000 handbags?
I hope not, Steve.
Tim Gunn, we do appreciate it. Fashion consultant, TV personality. We appreciate you being with us this morning.
Thank you very much, Steve. It was great to be with you.
In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Thursday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.